The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we'll talk about how to have a frictionless Disney World trip. That's coming up on this episode 205 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 205. So today I am going to go over some of my ideas for how to reduce the friction in your trip, and we will talk about that in just a minute. Instead of reminding you to follow on social media like I always do, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Deluxe Resort Rankings podcast that went up recently, because I had lots of good feedback on that. And first of all, appreciate the enthusiasm. There was a ton of response, got a lot of DMs on Instagram, got some tweets, got some emails. And what I really like is people that can convey their disagreements respectfully, because then it gives the other person something to think about instead of putting them on the defense. And everyone was very nice that disagreed. And so it did give me something to think about, including some people talked about accessibility of resorts. And mentioned that anytime you have to go to the TTC, the Ticketed Transportation Center, with a manual wheelchair, that is very difficult because the ramps are quite steep. For example, that was one of the pieces of feedback. Another person, actually multiple people, were in defense of the boardwalk because I ranked it so low on the list. And they mentioned that they thought the transportation there overall was actually better than many resorts. And that's because they thought the buses, when they were needed, were better than they were at the beach and yacht club. So that is good to know that people have that viewpoint. Anyway, overall, really great feedback, and I know anytime there's rankings that it's going to get people's opinions stirring, and there's a possibility for disagreements, especially when you put some people's favorite resorts at the end of the list, but that is okay. I appreciate hearing from you. I got the idea for this episode because I was watching a video with Gary Vaynerchuk. If any of you are into internet marketing, Gary Vaynerchuk may be a familiar name. He is a guy who always talks about, he's very like busy on social media. He's my age and he values the new and latest and greatest things. So he's sort of able to communicate to middle-aged and older people what is sort of going on with younger people. And I have been following him for like 10 years or so. And I was watching a video of him one day and he said, I work so much and I don't see my family that much that when I do take time off, I like my time on vacation to be as frictionless as possible. And in his case, I believe what he meant was he sort of throws money at it. He allocates lots of money for vacation so that he can have sort of a VIP experience. And I wanted to talk about that today, but instead of just saying hire a VIP tour guide at Disney World, that would be a very quick podcast, wouldn't it? I'm going to give you some ideas for how to have a frictionless Disney World trip, meaning that you are going to reduce your wait times and reduce your transport times and just make it easy and a little bit more laid back than it might otherwise be. But I'm going to do it without suggesting a VIP tour guide. However, if it's in your budget to hire a VIP tour guide, no judgment. I have done that before and I will do it again, but I usually go without, obviously. It would be a very boring sight if all my advice was just to hire a VIP tour guide. So we're going to start by talking about the airport if you happen to be flying during your trip. And what I would suggest at the airport is getting TSA PreCheck, at least for one person in your party, if not for everyone. And I would even suggest considering Global Entry, which is just a couple dollars more than TSA PreCheck, but will give you international privileges so that when you re-enter the country, customs is much faster and it's barely any more money. So I think it's $85 for 5 years for TSA PreCheck, and I think Global Entry is $100 for 5 years, something like that. When I got mine, I got Global Entry because not only did I want the international privileges, but it was actually faster to get that than TSA PreCheck itself. But it includes TSA PreCheck. And so I just went ahead and got Global Entry. I don't know what the wait times are like now when you apply to get it, but it's not very much different on the price, so it might be worth it to go ahead and do Global Entry. Some credit cards will actually refund you the amount of that if you get TSA PreCheck or Global Entry, so it may not end up costing you anything if you have one of those credit cards. If one person in your group gets it, oftentimes the others in the travel group will get it as well, but that is not guaranteed unless it's a child 12 and under. They will be able to go through the TSA PreCheck with an adult who has TSA PreCheck. How many times can I say TSA PreCheck? So I would suggest considering it, even if your home airport is easy to get in and out of, the Orlando airport is often not. It is very busy, and that alone will save you a lot of trouble then, because getting stuck in those security lines can be such a pain. So I would highly recommend it, even if it's just for one person in your group. Also at the airport, when you land in Orlando and you need to get to Disney World, you have heard me talk many times before about using Lyft. You can use Magical Express for free, but you may have a wait. Sometimes you get lucky and you get on the bus and it takes you and you go to your resort, but other times it can take up to 3 hours from the time you land to the time you get to your resort. So if you want to reduce your times, then you know that you need to go from point A to point B, is most direct as possible, and Lyft is one way to do that. You could also hire a private driver. If you hire a private driver, then you will also usually get help with your bags, so that is helpful at baggage claim if you want the extra hands. But either one of those is how I usually do it. I did Magical Express for 10 years. So I am no stranger to Magical Express and have used it many, many times. However, I am now usually a person who uses Lyft because it gets me there the fastest, usually costs about $40 each way. So consider that for your trip. Once you get to Disney World, I would suggest staying in a hotel with the easiest commutes. And that's going to mean getting there by foot. If you have the budget to stay in a hotel that can get you to a park by foot, I would recommend that. That includes the boardwalk area hotels or the Contemporary Resort, because if you can get to one or two parks by foot, you're going to greatly reduce the amount of time that you are spending in transit. If you cannot afford a deluxe resort, I would suggest Pop Century. You've heard me talk about it a lot. And that's because I think it is such a great bang for the buck. It has one bus stop, and once you're on the buses take you directly to wherever you're going without sharing with other resorts, without any internal stops at the resort. That is a great option, and especially if you're at the value resort budget point. Transportation while at Disney World. First of all, walk if you can. So if you're staying in the Boardwalk Area Hotel, then walk to Hollywood Studios, walk to Epcot. That's usually going to be your best bet. But if you are not within walking distance, again, I'm going to suggest taking Lyft or minivan to cut down on your transportation times. The process of getting anywhere at Disney World can take up to 60 minutes by the time you leave your room, walk to a bus stop, wait for a bus, board the bus, and get there. It can take up to 60 minutes. Now, it may be only 30, it may be, you know, it can vary, but it can take a while because, you know, any kind of public transportation system is going to rely on the schedule. But if you are in control and you get to call your own car, a Lyft or a minivan, then obviously that is going to cut down the time and get you right there. Now, they'll pick you up where you are and take you there directly without stop. So that is a very easy way to do it. We just recently rewrote all of our information. We used to recommend Lyft and, I mean, Uber, and now we recommend Lyft, and we've gone over it in detail, and I'll link to that in the show notes so that you can read that information. That is how we get around on our trips now. Let's talk about dining. You've heard me say before that I recommend eating near where you'll be, and that is because that allows you to cut down on transport time. One of the benefits in staying in a deluxe hotel is that you have places to eat at your hotel, so you don't have to go anywhere. You can just walk downstairs to the restaurant, and that is a huge, huge perk. But you should, at the very least, pick restaurants near where you'll be. So if you're going to be at Magic Kingdom and you don't necessarily want to eat at Magic Kingdom, you can at least pick a restaurant that's at a Magic Kingdom area resort. If you're going to Epcot, there's lots of places to eat at Epcot, but you may also want to choose something that's on the boardwalk area, which is just outside of Epcot. So pick something near where you'll be. That way you don't have to worry about the transport. I know it's very tempting, especially in the age of Instagram, where you see pictures of cute food all over the place and you think, yes, I want to eat there. But what you have to think to yourself is, how long is it going to take me to get there? Because Disney World is so, so big, and you don't want to be going 30 minutes on a bus to eat a cute cupcake so you can take a picture. Or maybe you do, no judgment. But if you want to reduce your time, you need to really, really think about the location. Another dining tip is to consider eating at restaurants that aren't the most difficult to get but are still great. And that just, you know, that just makes your planning process easier. So if you're trying to eat somewhere very popular, like Cinderella's Royal Table or, you know, one of the character meals, that's going to be hard. You're going to have to make those reservations months in advance, and they're going to be very busy restaurants because they are almost always completely sold out. But if you want to avoid that scene, you could eat at places that are less popular but good to eat at. And that could include places like The Wave, which is inside the Contemporary, Yachtsman Steakhouse, which is inside the Yacht Club, Tudo Italia, which is in Epcot. That will allow you to have a good experience without all of the stress involved in getting the reservation or the wait time or the crowds that are often associated with popular restaurants. If you don't want to be stuck to dining reservations at all, which is sort of a free feeling sometimes to be at Disney World and not have to be anywhere at a particular time, you could consider eating quick service restaurants. So you just walk up whenever you're hungry, or you can look for dining reservations last minute. So what I often do is, for instance, if I'm at Epcot, there's lots of restaurants there. So if I think, what I think we might want to eat at a restaurant here in a couple hours, I'll pull up the app, see what's available. There usually is something available, and that allows us to sort of be a little bit more spontaneous in the plans without having to book them 6 months in advance. When it comes to touring, I already mentioned VIP tour would certainly get you there as fast as possible. And you heard Chris's trip report recently where he talked about doing the Ultimate Day of Thrills tour, which got him into a lot of the attractions in three of the parks. But if you don't want to do that, I would highly recommend getting after-hours tickets to Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios if they are available during your dates. Now, I understand this is a special ticketed event, but I don't view it as an extra cost because in my mind, these tickets can replace the regular tickets that you would normally get. So let's say you have 6 days in the parks. If you want to do an after hours, I would get 5 days of park tickets and one after hours ticket because you can get so much done in at an after hours event. And I would rather do that than be there during the day where all the crowds are. So in my mind, this is not really an extra cost. It's just a replacement for the regular ticket. So you kind of net out the same, but you get to do a lot more. I do want to point out that Hollywood Studios, if the shows at Hollywood Studios are important to you, then the after hours will not be a good option because the shows are not available during after hours. They are open during the day. So, but Magic Kingdom, almost everything's open, and so it's a really good deal. Another thing to consider is early morning magic at Magic Kingdom or Hollywood Studios. Now, this is not a replacement ticket like After Hours is, because when you do early morning magic, you have to have a regular ticket as well. So this is an extra cost on top of your ticket. However, it does allow you to complete a land, Fantasyland or Toy Story Land, before the park even opens. And that's really great because it saves you a whole lot of time in lines and can allow you to get through the attractions a lot faster. And it includes breakfast, so that's a nice way to start your day. And I definitely suggest these if you have little ones, because these particular lands are very popular with little ones and it'll allow you to do those at a much more leisurely pace and to repeat favorites. If they really like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train or Slinky Dog, they can repeat those and you won't have to worry about being stuck in a 60 plus minute line to do it. So early morning magic is a way to start your day without any friction or almost no friction during your Disney World trip. Okay, another thing to think about with touring is don't try to do everything, but pick a few priorities. And the reason for that is that the stress of trying to get it all done is where a lot of the friction comes from. You know, if you're really stressed about making, you know, making it to this ride, making it to this ride, making it to this ride, then it's just, that's not very laid back. And so I would highly recommend just figuring out what your priorities are and focusing on those, and then everything else is just a bonus. And then finally, with touring, I guess it goes without saying that making good FastPass reservations is a must. Highly recommend doing that. You know, don't waste your FastPass on something that's not going to have a line anyway. And then once those three fast passes are used, then get more fast passes while you're there. You've heard trip reports of people saying that they did this, and the effectiveness of this depends on how crowded it is when you were there. But as soon as you scan your Magic Band or your park ticket to use your fast pass, open up the app and see what other fast passes you can get so that you can go on another ride without having to wait. So make good use of fast passes during your trip. And then lastly, on your return home, you have heard me talk many times about using resort airline check-in. When I don't stay at a Disney World resort, this is the thing I miss the most, absolutely, because it is so convenient to not have to haul your luggage to the resort, and it frees you up to go do other things on your last day at Disney World. So the concept is that you at your Disney World resort, it basically is an airline desk. Just like at the airport, you can check your bags and get your boarding passes, and then you're all checked in, you have your seat, you have your luggage checked, and then you can go do other things and then go to the airport later without having to go through that process, without having to lug your bags. And just as a reminder, you don't have to be taking Magical Express to do this. You just have to be flying on one of the participating airlines. That is a common misconception about resort airline check-in, so I find myself repeating it a lot to make sure that you know. And also because I made this mistake about 5 years ago and I will never forget it, because we got stuck with luggage at the airport. So, the last day of my trips often includes checking my luggage at resort airline check-in and then going to a park or going to Disney Springs and then taking a lift from there to the airport. And that way I don't have to come back to the hotel and it's very easy. I just find that to be a very laid back way to end a Disney World trip. And I think that'll wrap up. I think that gives me lots of ideas. I may have missed some things. If you have some ideas for things that you think make a trip to Disney World frictionless, please tweet me or DM me or email me and let me know. And I might share those on an upcoming episode. This week's quick tip comes from Sarah, who sent it to me on Instagram. She said, when considering park hopping, look in My Disney Experience to see the park with the most available fast passes. And I have to admit, this tip gives me a slight bit of anxiety because most of the time, especially if it's your first trip, I suggest that you have these things planned out. But if you have some flexibility and you have park hopper tickets and you're thinking, hey, I wonder where we should go next, then this is not a bad idea. So thanks for that, Sarah. And that'll wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information, you can visit the website, wdwprepschool.com, click podcast at the top, and scroll down to episode 205, or you can check the show notes in your podcast app. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.